Father, thank you again for the Word of God been taught on these premises this day for every teacher. Thank you for preserving it for our day. Now we open this precious book again. And dear Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to give us what is needed this hour as we remind ourselves this month in February for years to remember, to go back and think about what God has done. We call it Stewardship Month. Maybe we can reorganize a little bit or redirect a little bit, or maybe we will allow you to redirect us some to understand, as we've said so many times, the only thing that'll matter in this world is what we do for you. We have so little time to do it in. It won't be long. If the Lord don't come back, there'll be people occupying the space that we occupy. We'll be going through eternity, into eternity. And dear Lord, what we do with you, the only thing really matter. So I pray you'd help us today. Help this frail body in this hour for the glory of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Already those in the Sunday school know that we're in Stewardship Month. We've done this for February for years now. We used to have mission conferences a week, but we started this due to, we just thought it's the Lord's will. And during the month of February, we have every Sunday dealing with a subject, with a theme during that month. Our theme is God has spoken. And today, all through the Sunday school, we've talked about God has spoken about light, becoming a mature Christian. Now, I want to approach this, the message, a little bit different, but the same subject, but a little bit of different angle as from a personal standpoint in these bodies of flesh. Before I read the verses I want to read, and if you look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll read verse 15 through 20. We know this by heart. You've heard many times these referred to in messages. But there's always seemed to be in our day, more so than ever, this thought. You begin to talk to some people about what they want to be doing before the Lord. And you find that they say, well, this is my body, I'll do what I want to. Heard a testimony of a young teenager, just a young boy, not just recently. When I say young, his dad was telling him their son kind of got out of keel with the Lord. They kind of rebelled. That age, adolescent years, is terrible age. They don't know enough, yet they think they know everything. And next thing you know, dead mother's not to be obeyed anymore. They're not old enough to realize that dead mother does have, they've been there. And this teenage, he took him to work that day, was working somewhere or another, and he talked to him, and his dad talked to him while he was going, and said, son, he said, you know, now I believe you're a Christian, but you know you're not living like you want to live. My dad, he had all reasons why. In essence, he was saying something like this: my body is my own, I'll do what I want to with it. And his dad put him off the car, let him know before night he was dead. He went into eternity with his dad talking to him, pleading with him. Know that you're saved, but in this case, it'd be sad if he weren't saved. Amen. But knowing that he was saved, that what a comfort it would be, but yet again knowing that he was not where he ought to be before the Lord. Now I read to you, I hear people saying, well, you know what? A person going to have abortion. Well, this is my body. I'll do with it what I want to. A person who's got alcohol, and you're saying, you don't have to drink that stuff. Well, this is my body. I'll do what I want to. Or a person who's a drug addict. Well, it makes me feel so good. This is my body. I'll do with it what I want to. But if you're saved, you don't have that privilege. You may do it and disobey God. But here are these verses, and what I want to speak to you on this morning. This body or that body may be your body, but it's also God's temple if you're saved. Amen. Now watch what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know you not, verse 15, that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the member of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. It's very dangerous. Well, this is my body. flee fornication. It's very dangerous. He said, and notice he said, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Now I want you to notice, three times he said, know ye not? What? Know ye not? What? Know ye not? Now he's talking to the Christian. I understand the unsaved not knowing this, because the only thing they know is what they want to do in their body. They have no alternative otherwise than just a few restraints that put on the society. But when you and I think about the Christian, and that's what Paul's talking to, he's talking to the Christians at Corinth here. Don't you know? You should know. You've been saved periods of years. You ought to know some things. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, why should we not understand that the body is the temple when God said so? You're bought with a price. Therefore, because you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. And notice he said, and in your spirit. Why? Why is it that one should glorify God in their body and in their spirit? He says the last three words, which are God's. You're bought with a price. You're bought with a price. Now, if you don't know, that's one thing, but you and I who have been saved, we have some things that we know about. So if you're saved, God has said, your body may be your body. But I want you to know it's also the temple of God. And there's some things about the temple of God that we can grow thereby as we look at the material Christian. We don't know a whole lot because we're not willing to learn. I think God delights to reveal to his children what he wants them to know and desires for them to know. But many times I heard where this was, it was a true story, I understand, where a small little girl came home one day and her stomach was hurting, and she was telling her mom, and she said that, I don't know exactly how old she was, probably 4 or 5 year old, maybe 6 year old, maybe less, somewhere along there. But she said, Mommy, my stomach hurts me so bad. It just hurts me so bad. And she said, Honey, I understand that. You know what you need? You need something in your stomach. If you get something, let's put something in your stomach, then it'll quit hurting. And she gave her something, and sure enough, a little while, quit hurting. About 3 or 4 days later, the pastor came by one day and visited and went to the door and knocked on the door. And the little girl heard the pastor. She said, Mother said, Hey, pastor, come in just a minute. And he said, How are you feeling today? He said, Well, I've been feeling pretty good. He said, I had a headache today. My head's hurt me real bad today. And the little girl heard it. And she came by and she said, Preacher, I can tell you what the trouble is. If you put something in that head, it'll quit hurting. Well, God is telling us there's a lot of things that will eliminate problems in our life. We'll just listen to what he says. I bought you with a price. I'm more concerned about you than you are yourself. I paid a price for you. And therefore, if you call me by name as Father, and I look at you as a child through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then there are some things you need to understand. You may say, yes, that body is yours, that you're tabernacling in. But I want you to know, the day you ask Christ to come into your heart, and let me say this morning, if you've not done that, do it. Don't walk out of here today taking a chance of tomorrow. You don't have no promise of it. I don't care what Satan tells you. Today is the only thing you and I have, this moment. We don't have another hour from now, promised. Thank God that many of us will be here. Maybe next week the Lord don't come back. But some may not be. You go to the gravesite. We used to tell our children years ago, we go out and look at the graveyard. You see little babies that have died at birth. And you see some be 80 or 90 years old. But I'll tell you what, when you get above 90, you don't see many left. You see a lot of them already going on. So when we talk about this subject this morning, and God has spoken, may it open our heart. When we talk about the church, we're not talking about this building here. We understand that, but just to refresh our mind a little bit, this is just a place where the church gathers to worship God. We've come together collectively to worship God. This place has been dedicated. It's been dedicated to the cause of Christ. It's been dedicated as the house of God. The world may ride by and look and say that's a place where they worship at. But I want you to know this is not the temple of God. I'm looking at it. If you're saved. That's what Jesus is telling us. That's what God is telling us. That's what the Holy Ghost is telling us. It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The church is made up of those who have trusted Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. They've done it by faith and are born into the family of God. This church building is not the temple or the sanctuary where God dwells. I believe He's here this morning. I believe He's in our midst. But when we leave, though He's omnipresent and He can never cease to be anywhere, when we leave, the temple of God leaves with us because that's our body if we're saved. So wherever we go, there's some things about this temple I need to understand. This church is not the temple, the sanctuary that God dwells in. The word temple is used in verse 19. It does not refer to the whole place of the temple where God dwells. For instance, if you go back, you got to understand the temple from the Old Testament, and it starts with the tabernacle. You see, this place where God dwells is the Holy of Holies. But when you look at the temple in it, and all the aspects of it, you look, there was an outer court, there was a holy place, and there was a most holy place. You see, in the outer court, there was the brazen altar, there was the laver. You walk into the holy place, you know the three elements that were there. You have the table of shewbread. You have also the candlesticks. You have the altar of incense. You have the veil, which Jesus said was ripped, when God's word said was ripped when He died and rose from the dead. You have the inner chamber, which is the Holy of Holies. It is the Holy of Holies where He dwelt. Now listen, you couldn't get to the Holy of Holies without going by the brazen altar. And you had to go into the holy place, what represented there. In other words, you had to go beyond the veil. You had to do certain things on the outside of the outer court before you can go into the holy place. You had to do certain things in the holy place before you go through the veil to get to the most holy place in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and the temple to have the presence of God. And when God was displeased with Israel, then He would move Himself from the most holy place up out. Sometimes they'd see Him like smoke leaving the most holy place. And He would descend when things were like they should be. They met with God in the most holy place. And that's where the presence of God was around the Ark of the Covenant. Now, when we look at this temple, we have to understand what God is talking about as far as Israel is concerned in His presence. Again, the approach, that's we know that set forth God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit drawing on the outside, certainly the inner part where you have the table of shewbread, so forth. Jesus Christ go beyond the veil, which He destroyed by shedding His blood, and you come to the very presence of God. That temple and that tabernacle, which was a pattern of the temple. Now that temple, which is a pattern of the temple in heaven, we know. So here now He says that's not the type temple we're talking about now. This is where I'm dwelling. This is the most holy place. Living in the individual's heart when they trust Christ as Savior. The rest of the temple is how to approach the Holy of Holies. Today we're dwelling, we are the dwelling place of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. When I say that to you, how does that touch you? I think we forget. That's the reason many times we allow things to be in our mind that should not be there. That's the reason why many times we do things that we should not do. We forget. You cannot get out of the reach of, even unsaved. But as a child of God, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And He's either pleased or grieved. And the Bible teaches us not to grieve Him. It's not very interest for us. In our interest to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, even as a child of God. If you're saved, God lives in you. What an awesome thought. It ought to shake us in our boots to know that God lives in us. And that life that we have is His life. This body is going to be laid back to the dust one day if it's not changed. But that life's going to live forever because God is forever. And now there's an alignment that God wants me to understand that this body is the last thing that's in this alignment, and I'm to be bringing it into subjection, but I'm sorry to say, most of the time the body leads everybody around rather than soul and spirit. Now here, he's letting us know this wonderful thing about he has spoken in this Christian maturity in life. Therefore, everywhere you go, everything you do, everything you touch, everything that you're affected by touches God. Why? Because God lives by His Spirit in you and I who are saved. Folks, don't forget that. My preacher, I can't believe that. Then you're not saved. If you don't believe that the Holy Spirit comes in like He says He did, then you can't be saved. Because God would not just tell us one thing, deny something else. See, it all comes as a package deal. You can't say be saved without Jesus Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings Him to us. And when we come to know Christ as Savior, it is the Holy Spirit that moves in. Jesus said He would come, and as He left, so that we can know the things of God, and He teaches those things, you see. So therefore, wherever you go, whatever you do, everything touches God. And yet many seem to feel that what they do has no effect on them spiritually. And it comes because that's the way the church at Corinth was, or the city of Corinth in that particular day. Many at Corinth felt that what they did with their bodies had no impact on their spiritual walk. Many today feel the same way. This in my body has nothing to do with the new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, it does. Because I'll tell you, this world cannot see that new creation without seeing it through your body. That's the whole concept of this thing. In Corinth, the temple Diana. Diana was the goddess of sex and love. Diana had over 1,000 female priestesses who were nothing but prostitutes. And to worship Diana, ladies and gentlemen, one had to have a relationship with a temple prostitute. They probably had a big crowd. What a shame that people will worship what they think is a god and incorporate sin and have people to believe that they can do it and God be pleased, and you can't be a part of that religious organization unless you participate in that. They reasoned that God had saved their soul and that their bodies were different, though. What I do with my body has no impact on my spiritual walk, they say. And that's exactly what's been said today, the mentality of Corinth. Paul says what they do makes an impact on their spiritual walk. Why? Because he says they are and were the temple of God. Everything done in that temple was done just like God said do in the Old Testament. He will not be pleased unless they could say, but Lord, I think this would be. No, everything in the tabernacle and the temple was done just like God said do it, or He was not pleased and His presence was not there. Now, I'm grateful to know that He'll never leave me nor forsake me once I came to know Christ as Savior. But I'll tell you this, where there cannot break a relationship, there can be broken a fellowship, and sooner or later, you're going to be miserable, and I'm going to be miserable when that fellowship is broken. So what a wonderful thing to see the difference in our body as being the new creation in Christ Jesus and what the Old Testament sets forth as far as the temple and the tabernacle. Again, God would never fill His temple with His glory if it was unholy, dirty, unrighteous in any form. God used severed comparisons between our bodies and the original temple of God. This body may be my body. It may be your body. But I want you to know it is still the temple of God if you're saved. Now, it's an interesting thing. We're the only religion that I know of, and I don't like religion, but it classified the other religions of the world, that has religion without a relationship. They've got to do everything to obtain a relationship in Jesus Christ. We have a relationship. We've been born into the family of God. Isn't it an interesting thing that when the Muslims' religion declares a jihad in their religion, the men are allowed to do something in life to come that they cannot do in the life they are here? Strap stuff to you, they're taught, blow yourself up and kill a few other Christians or Jews or other people. And when you leave this life, you go into that life, and Allah would give you 7 virgins. They can't have them here. They would be committing adultery if they had it here. They would actually be ostracized if they had them here. But yet they do this awful thing and all of a sudden end up in that place where they go and have seven virgins. What a price to pay for seven virgins. I wonder what the women get. Because some now I hear women strapping stuff to them and blowing themselves up. I wonder what they get on. But what's the problem with them? Men? Isn't that a foolish thought? I'll be honest with you, whether you like that or not, it makes no difference to me. It's a foolish thought to think that man could do something and kill and commit suicide at the same time and be pleased while a God on the other side reward you where he wouldn't let you do it in this life. I thought I'd just throw that in there. I'm talking about this may be our body, but it's God's temple. It's God's temple. There are five things about the temple I'm going to look at quickly, which will help make you a mature Christian. When I go back and look at the temple that God talked about in the Old Testament and understand he said this is his temple now, what does it mean? I look at the temple and I find this, that he says in the Old Testament that the temple is a place of dedication. The early temple was a place dedicated to God and his glory. Defilement was not allowed in that temple. If it was, he's present less. And they had to do it precisely day by day by day by day by day, just like God said do. When something out of the ordinary occurred, God took steps to take care of that problem. If you don't believe it, look in Leviticus chapter 10 in verse 1 and 2. There's two fellows by the name of Nadab and Abihu. They were sons of Eleazar, and they offered strange fire before the Lord. It probably did it because if you look down a few verses from there, you'll find in verse 8 through 11, it seems like they were intoxicated. They probably didn't know what they were doing because they were so intoxicated with the drink of that particular day that they offer a strange fire, a fire that God forbid to be offered on the altar. And because of that, he didn't wait to tell them or warn them anymore. He'd already warned them, but because of that, he struck them dead right then. It's serious business. We live in an age of grace today. We think we get by with so much. You better get it under the blood. That's the only way to clear it, because we cannot get by like we think we can just because this is my body. This is the temple of God. According to our text, no one has the right to use his or her body for anything other than God's glory. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Why? Because we have been bought with a price. Saved people enter into a covenant relationship with God Almighty. God has promised to save and to keep and to provide for us and take us to heaven. We promise to turn from sin and follow him and serve him in this life. Here we gave up the claims to our bodies and its desires to be submitted unto him according to the new creation in Christ. It doesn't mean that we arrived yet. It doesn't mean that we're sinless or end up with perfection. It just means that we're doing our best with God's help to try to live a blameless life, so the world can see what it is about that temple that refers to the living and true God. God saved people, entering this covenant relationship. Here we gave up the claims of our bodies and its desires. We do not belong to ourselves. If you're saved, well, I might know it. No, you're not. If you're saved, you may not know it, but I'll guarantee you God has override of us. He can change it any time. You say, well, I'm going to do this. No, you, hey. He can say, that's it, and that's it. And by the way, he has a right to. He's the only one who can give life. He can take life. Well, I don't believe my God's that way. He's a gracious God. Let me tell you, he is gracious. If he hadn't, he'd all zapped us all to hell to start with. But he loves us enough that Christ died for us, and he loves us enough to let us through life make decisions. But there come a time that God said, that's enough. And according to this, the temple is a place of dedication. I mean, we promised to do some things. Now, regardless of what we're doing, it doesn't bring glory. If it doesn't bring glory and honor to God, it's sin. Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatsoever you do, do as all unto the glory of God. Why? This body is the temple of God. So the first thing, the temple is a place of dedication. The second thing I want you to know is the temple is a place of devotion. The temple is a place where songs were sung and prayers were made and people came to worship God, and sin was atoned for at that time as they brought the correct sacrifice. And Isaiah 56 verse 7 said, God said that he would make his people joyful in my house of prayer. These bodies will worship someone or something. It's made that way. It may be we make it a Sabbath. It may be we don't put a totem pole up, but in our hearts, something is taken first priority other than God himself. We're going to worship someone or some body. Our bodies are the place where God is worshiped. So how can I worship God then with my body? In spiritual growth. How can I do that? Let me give you an example. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. He tells us that sometimes when we pray, prostrate in prayer. Jeremiah did that. He tells us to be separated from the world. Jeremiah tells us that also along with the New Testament. He tells us to practice his presence. Hebrews 13, 5. In Matthew 28, verse 20, he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Learn to walk in his abiding presence. That's another way that you and I actually see the place as a place of devotion. These bodies are concerned. Praise him continually. If you look into Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 15, God says in his word there very plainly, he said in verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Also, in Psalm 47, verse 1, he says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of a trumpet. A voice of a trumpet is a loud voice. There comes a time that God deserves just all-out praise from you, even by yourself or with someone. Never let anyone stop you from having a thankful heart of the blessings of God, that you give God praise. We need to pray, place our body into hands for his service. God will not require, somebody say, but I wish I just don't know. God will not and never would he require any more than you and I can do. Do you understand that? He will never require of us any more than we can do. So there's a lot we could be doing. We're not, as we make excuses for not doing it. He opens the door for us to serve him, and we walk through that. Place your body in his hands for service. Romans 6:18 says, yield to him as servants of righteousness. This temple is a temple of devotion, just as much so as that one that God gave Moses the instructions for the tabernacle and later built for Israel in Solomon's day. The third thing I see about this body may be yours, but it's also the temple of God, is that the temple is a place of duty. Temple is a place where men carried out the duties that they had been given to the Lord. There were sacrifices there. There was prayer done there. Tithes and offerings were put there. Duties were performed. Paul referred to himself as a servant. If you look in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, that is, he said, I am a bond slave. I wonderfully yield myself as a bond slave to the cause of Christ in his day. What is a bond slave? One who has made a decision to give God himself to God's will. One who has literally relinquished all claims to self-gain and glory. One who wishes to be just what God wanted them to be and nothing else. The church is where we in our temple come to serve and worship God. Now, I can worship anywhere. But he gave the church, in an instant, though he lives in our bodies, he gave us in the New Testament that called out assembly called the church, the ecclesiastical people coming, the church. We come together. There's something that gives us power, gives us strength, and gives us we're not alone when we come together in the church. So the temple, again, is a place of dedication, is a place of devotion, is a place of duty. Is your temple the place where the duties of the Lord are carried out? Is he more on your mind than anything else in the world? Do you go to bed at night, even if you're too tired to pray, say good night, Lord, and wake up in the morning and spend time with him in prayer? Or are we so busy that sometimes God has said, you know, my son, my daughter has not had much time with me lately. I guess I'm going to have to let the elements take place so it make them look at me more than looking at Seth. In witnessing, worshiping, praying, giving, obedience, holiness, righteousness, and many other ways, if so, this is a sign, if it's been done like it should, of Christian maturity. If it's not, it's a sign that we've not grown much. And we're still on the milk of the word, as the writer of Hebrews said, rather than the meat of the word. So I see the temple, he says, is a place of dedication, devotion, duty. So is this temple. And then number four, the temple is a place of death. It's amazing. place of death. I mean, the animals were slain on the altar of the Old Testament temple. There was singing, there was praising, there was duty, there was many things. It was a worship was there, but there was also the stink of death. Can you imagine? They killed hundreds and hundreds of animals every day that was required to atone for their sin. 1 Peter 1:23 teaches us that we've been born again. He said, been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We are a totally new creation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We are expected to be dead to our old way of life. If you don't believe that, look what he said. I'm talking about God's word giving us instruction in Colossians chapter 1 or 3, verse 9, 1 through 10. He said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things. If you're saved, you are sitting at the right hand of the Father. Number two, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall appear with him in glory. Then he tells us how to put those things to death. Mortify therefore your members. He lists a number of things, sacred time. Verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedient. God set forth that these things will be destroyed one day, and the person who is involved with them, if they haven't been put under the blood. He goes on and says, but now, verse 8, but now you also put off these things, anger, malice, wrath, blasphemy, filth, communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing, what's this? Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Ye have done that, why? Because of the new creation in Christ Jesus, because this is the temple of God. Ye have put off the old man, and have put on, who has? Ye have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Here, we're expected to be dead in our old way of life. We are to put off the old. We are to consider ourselves dead to certain activities. And he lists many of these, lasciviousness and cleanness and fornication and coveting, these things. These are things that will be put to the side. It doesn't mean that we're sinless. It doesn't mean that many times in your mind, man, this is a place, I'll tell you, if you're not very careful, it will lead you astray. There's enough in this world right now just to get up and put your mind in neutral. If it's in neutral, you'll be headed in a direction you don't want to go sometimes. Because every way, from the time you get up, time you go to bed, you're confronted with everything but God. Amen. Just think about it. No wonder we have such trouble with these bodies of flesh. And I'll tell you this, not a one of us in here not capable to do anything that we used to do before we got saved. There's not a one in here. Well, I have you all right, preacher. Yeah, you watch it. You're just fixing to fall because you better realize that God is the power, not us. Amen. Thank God Almighty for his power, though, that helps us. The temple is a place. Again, I'm death. We are not. We're to put these bodies to death for God's glory. This is not physical death, but it's restraint. It's control. They should be inactive. These things should be inactive because we're dead to them and alive unto God Almighty. That's what he's telling us. If we do not control our body passions, they will control us. And by the way, there's a lot of them that controls us, all of us. Some are worse than others. Then I see this body is a place of dedication, a place of devotion, a place of duty, is a place of death. And then the fifth thing is the body is a place of display. What did he have to make the tabernacle? Well, it's to make atonement for sin. What did he have to make the temple? Make atonement for sin. But wait a minute, that was a beautiful place, that temple. The temple reminded people of God. Wherever Israel went, a capped around that tabernacle. When they saw the tabernacle, it reminded them of the God of Israel. Many times they didn't understand the Ark of the Covenant. They many times claimed to be the God of Israel. Thought it itself had power in it. When the temple was made in Jerusalem, wherever people came from all over the known world on that day, that temple was made to manifest the God of Israel. This is how the God of Israel dealt with his people. This is how the people dealt with the God of Israel. This is how they responded to him and how God responded to them when it came to that process in the temple there. It was a place of display. It reminded people of God. So should ours. Our bodies should witness to this world that we have been redeemed, That's the reason in Colossians 3 I read to you in verse 9 and 10 that you have put off the old man with his deeds and that you have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This is not something that you put on and then it's, you know, like a coat and it's there. That's all you need. It is a renewing thing, has to do with the mind. It's a constant renewing, being transformed into that image that God says that we're to be transform in, renewing of our mind, not being conformed to the world. And so I say to you again, yes, the body is your body. But if you're saved, it's also the temple of Almighty God. The saved are living, breathing love letters to humanity. Letters that say to sinners, listen, look at me. What God has done here for me, He can do for you. No wonder God said so much about our lives being manifest in this world of who He is. What God can do for me, He can do for you, because they'll not see God in the age of grace right now except as they see Him through God's people. And when someone looks at someone and says, well, I'm a Christian, and they say, well, I value your life for the last 3 weeks. I don't see no difference in your life and mine. Why should I want something I already got? This is honest, folks. This stewardship, this is reminding. This is letting us have a wake-up call. God in heaven, please help us understand ourselves. This is the temple of Almighty God. It may be my body, but it's also the temple of God. Why? Because He bought and paid for it. And when I trusted Christ as my Savior, He moved in to help me in this life. Why should I get upset with Him when He's trying to correct me and direct me? Why would you get upset with me when God's only trying to do, out of love and care, correct and direct us so we'd be the best vessel could be that others would want Him because they see us? So the child of God should be a shining example of His saving grace. The temple in Jerusalem was covered with gold. The sun caused it to shine across the horizon. And I remember, even the city itself amazed me when I was there a number of years ago. We left in the morning time and we went out. I didn't think much about it. The rise of the sun, when we came out, the sun set. And it had to be setting over the city of Jerusalem. And as we came across the mountainside and saw that city, I was amazed. I bet it changed color 3 or 4 times before I got there over that mountain. The sun just caused those rocks that were blocks and the stones it was made out of would just vibrate with color as a beautiful golden sun settled in the west at that particular time. And can you imagine what it was like, this temple right in the middle of that had gold everywhere? I mean, if a block that God made out of stone, or these men made out of stone that God had made to be cut out of, could shine, think what gold would shine in that temple as it was covered with that. Your life either speaks well of Jesus Christ. My life either speaks well of Jesus Christ or it brings dishonor to Him. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, he said simply this. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, he said, only let your conversation, that is your way of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. I don't have to be there, Paul said. I just that I hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving towards for the faith of the gospel. What kind of statement are we making about Jesus Christ? He says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of God? Well, it may be my body. Yes, it may be. And I'll grant you that. I've called it your body. But I want you to know, while you're saying it's your body, if you're saved, it's also my temple. Now, who's the bigger person? Me, God, or you? Well, God, you are. Who should have the right of way then? God, you should have. Then why am I telling God to lay off when I want to do something in the body He displeased with? He's bigger than I am. Do I think if I disobey Him that I can get by with it because I know sooner or later that I can whip Him? Paul said, away with such a thought as that. God forbid. Number of times when you make foolish statements. You know, I'm talking about people in the flesh. No. We should trust Him because He is the one who's able. You see, God the Father created our bodies. God the Son redeemed and made us part of His body, and God the Holy Spirit indwells our bodies and makes them the temple of God. Isn't it a wonderful thing, folks, whether you realize it or not? The fact this is the temple is one of the assurances that God will never leave us or forsake us. Because He's living here. And I've closed with a thought. Yes, this body may be our bodies, but if we're saved, it's the temple of God. Our instructions are very clear, as He teaches us in 1 Corinthians. They're very, very clear. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Why, God? Because I paid for you. I paid the price. I bought the place of existence in your body as a temple of God. So I asked myself and I asked you. Are you dedicated to Christ? Are you devoted, executing your duties for Him? Are you putting things to death that dishonor Him with His help? Are you displaying God's saving grace in your life for Him? The unsaved are not God's temple, but they can be. But we who are saved are God's temple. God is doing business today to let people know what it is to be a child of God and at the same time be part of this wonderful assembly called the church, where we meet together collected as a body of Christ, but God dwells in us by His Spirit, and this becomes the temple of God. God is doing business today. Were you given the right of way in your life? You know, I wonder how many times someday in the future God's going to say, did you know, Pastor Ennis said many things maybe sometimes you didn't like, but He loved you enough to tell you the truth. We can yawn and bat and not worry about it today. But I will be vindicated in heaven one day. Because I believe when God speaks, He don't have to revise it later because of people. What He says is just as sure in Adam's day as it is today. It's just as sure today as it was in Paul's day. It stays the same. We're the one who are in the wilderness. We're the one that were without God. We were the one who were in the miserable shape. God was not in no miserable shape. We were the one He came to the rescue. And He rescued us, folks. He has a right to make demands on our life. That body may be your body. But you keep in mind, it is the temple of God if you're saved. As God's temple, it is a place of dedication, devotion, duty, death, and display. Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, this first day of stewardship month. The fact that we look at those qualities setting forth mature Christian life. Lord, You gave us so much. That's reading a lot of folks. I'd rather go where they can have the flesh tickled and not have any instructions. If I can psychologically be told how to make more money, that fits the flesh. If I told how God loves us and saves us from sin, that makes me a sinner. So therefore, I'd rather just go and be influenced to think I can psychologically do things and not worry about being a sinner. Lord, please help us not to change what You have set forth in concrete by Your Spirit through the years. Help us love You enough to realize God always has the best intention for us. The Lord, we can be anywhere in the scale of life. We can be in Africa, the poorest person who walked the earth, and still have a relationship with God. Or we can be the most rich man in this world, have more money than Gates of God, dear Father. And yet if God's in the center of our lives, have just as much a fellowship with God. I'm glad that things do not have to become that which separates from God if God is where You ought to be. Help us see that in this first month of stewardship. And God has spoken. And He's told us what it is needed to be mature Christians. He encourages us to get off the milk of the Word. Step out by faith. And Father, the very moment that we begin to step out and God move us along, that where we become on the meat of God's Word, there will be that instruction for us to start teaching others, helping others. We don't learn to bluff ourselves, puff ourselves up in turn just to say what I know. We learn to be used of God. Please help Stewardship Month this month be a great month for fellowship to get us kicked off into this year if the Lord don't come back for the church. Help us, Lord, to see things happen for Your glory. Yes, this body is my body, but it's also the temple of God if I'm saved. Help me grow in maturity to understand what God is trying to do through that temple to display himself to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.